Hello everyone, and it looks like I'm not sure if we're going live or not, but we've been at this since the last hour with some technical difficulties. So welcome again. So this is another amazing episode of What Do You Really Want? With your host here, Tammy Anahata, Chris Hales, and Amy, and we've got Lucia Renee joining us. We've been, you know, sort of in and out of recording for the last hour with some technical issues, some fascinating conversations here happening in the background. I'll have Chris and Amy say a quick hello to you guys so we can just get straight into this.
Awesome, awesome. Yes, we did. We ran into a difficulty we haven't had before, and it's led to a delay in the what was going to be a pre-recorded show, and we decided to go live and just do it. So it's not that we probably won't have many people listening right now, but they'll be able to catch up with it. So welcome, everybody. Another great conversation coming up because, yeah, we've been having some wonderfully juicy little exchanges, trying not to get into it too much because we don't want to lose the fresh energy. And we got off to a really excellent start, and I just know on the first attempt, and I just know this one will be even better because now we've actually aligned a little bit more through our conversations. So it's now 1 a.m. for me here. Lucky me. That's okay. I'm somewhat of a night owl anyway, and really looking forward to our new guest. First time we've had Lucia on. Amy, over to you.
Amy,
hi.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here. I was on mute, of course. Keep forgetting to unmute me. But hi, I'm all excited. We're ready. Let's roll. That's all I have to say. Let's jump in.
Cool.
Indeed. So I'll reintroduce, since you guys didn't hear that, that's out in the ether somewhere if you're in meditation and picked up on that one. Lucia, so Lucia Renee, actually, just a shout out again, as I did before, to Belinda Wake for turning me on to the amazing YouTubes that Lucia has been bringing forward, the last two ones. If you check out our show page, the links for Exiting the Matrix, which is the most recent YouTube put out there, and also Connecting to the Highest Schumann Resonance on the Planet, which was the Ascension Game Changer YouTube. So if you guys get a chance, definitely check that out, and it'll all start to make sense once you tune into this call. So we've sort of been waiting to do the show with much excitement, actually, and it's happening today, even though we're an hour running behind. So I'll tell you a little bit about Lucia. Lucia today will be taking us into a conversation about the current window of time leading up to this summer solstice, June 20th, guys, which she calls the final choice point of humanity. And you know how much we have talked about choice point on this show. And it is a time coming up where we're really being asked to choose ascension and over continuing to play the games of polarity within the patriarchal system. Lucia is a mystical warrior and a spiritual mentor to thousands of people, guys, around the world. And her exploration of consciousness has spanned over 45 years. She is an ordained Buddhist monk and has a classical spiritual background. But she's best known for continually pushing the envelope of the new paradigm of consciousness. And as I mentioned before, her recent YouTube, Exit and Unplug the Matrix, is invaluable for anyone opting for ascension during this window of time. And her award-winning Unplugging the Patriarchy is more of a mystical experience than a book, and it has helped thousands of people shift their perception of the troubled world in which we live. And there is an upcoming workshop in San Francisco, the Treasure of Trove Transformation, and it's an invitation to all those who would like to optimize their spiritual evolution during 2016, the year when, guys, this looks like everything is, you know, everything and anything is possible. We'll definitely dive a little bit more into that workshop for those of you who are interested in joining and are in the San Francisco, California area towards the end of the show. And we'll be giving you definitely a lot more resources and how you can connect with Lucia. But without further ado, Lucia, welcome again.
Thank you. Thank you. Finally, really happy to be here and live.
Indeed. Well, Tammy, let's begin. Let's begin
so,
with the same thing we did on the first take.
Yeah. So we basically had just asked Lucia, you know, how this all started for her, if it started when she was a child, and you know, her journey that's led up to this point. And Lucia, if you wouldn't mind taking us through that again.
Sure. Yeah. And I deferred talking about childhood and said, well, I think we need to go back to Atlantis, because there are so many light workers who are incarnate at this time and culminating a couple of tours of duty. It's really astonishing, but we're pushing. You know, this is the last year. This is the this is it, the make it or break it year. And so we came in, I think, for an original experiment in consciousness, which was all about the evolution of consciousness. Can you infuse this particular type of star-seeded embodiment with divinity and have it realize itself? That was the original experiment, as I see it. And that proceeded, but then went a little bit south when those that I refer to as the Anunnaki, the global elite and company, took things south in Atlantis when it went down. And so many of us signed on for a second tour of duty to ensure at that point throughout this patriarchal era that the experiment in consciousness did not fail. And we know at this point for a certainty that no, it's not going to fail. We've known that for a long time, I think, but seeing the light at the end of the tunnel really gives one a lot of hope. So for me, I came in and had a very normal childhood, actually. I mean, I think, you know, we all come in and forget who we are. And, you know, immediately it starts the programming with our parents, our schools, and so on. And so I really began my awakening, what people call awakening now, just becoming more aware and reaching that juncture where you think, wow, there's got to be something more than this 3D world, when I was in university. So I was about 20 and I learned to meditate. And it was another 11 years until I met my teacher from this another lifetime, many other lifetimes. And he was a fully awakened master and a mystic. And so he had his students do two things. He had us learn the ropes of mysticism and also to learn computer science. Not because we would spend the rest of our incarnation doing computer science, because we needed the mindset. And so that's proved to be invaluable to me, the ability to go in and do a systems analysis of an issue and then to look at it psychically, because he helped me to bring my psychic abilities back, those psychic abilities that we're all born with but get covered up. And so I first used that to in a collaborative project that my book captures called Unplugging the Patriarchy. We went in and dismantled the underlying structure of the patriarchy at an energetic level. And so what we've been watching now for the past few years is how those energetic changes filter down into the real, what we call the real world, the 3D world. And I think we're reaching the culmination of that now. But now my focus is very much this year on just trying to stay up with all of the changes that are afoot. You know, as soon as you say something, it's outdated. So, but I'm very keen to help people move as far as they can in their spiritual evolution this year, because the, you know, qualitatively, this year, 2016, is unprecedented. There's literally a window that's opened, which, if you can access it, says anything, anything is possible in terms of your spiritual evolution. So it's a matter of helping people drop belief systems, drop ideas about themselves, drop any arrogance and worthlessness that may be there, so that they can tap into that and really get on this magic carpet ride throughout the end of the year.
Awesome. Now, there are so many questions that spring from this. Tammy, do you have anything immediately you'd like to ask Lucia?
Go for it, Chris.
Yeah.
I do, but yeah.
Sure. Okay. Now, the first of all, the choice point that humanity is facing, is this something which is a choice that can be made? Is there an option to make this unconsciously? So it's not in your conscious awareness. It's just something that your soul, your higher self, definitely says yes on the solstice. Or is it something that people ideally, well, do they have to be consciously aware of the choice before them?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are choosing this unconsciously. It helps if you have gained the ability through your spiritual practice to merge those two, the conscious and the unconscious, because then you can really optimize your time and you are very much aware that you're making the right choice. But, you know, my seeing is that what I call a splitting of the worlds began to occur back in 2011, approximately. And there have been a number of splitting of the worlds and therefore a number of choice points. And by splitting of the worlds, I just mean those who are opting for ascension kind of break off en masse and float away from the general collective, which is hanging on for dear life to an old system. It's like they know that the patriarchal system and everything that entails, the banking, the World Trade Organization, everything, they know that it's not a good system and it needs to fall apart. But they're scared to death because it means if that falls apart, my life falls apart. And I don't want to go there. I want to continue to pay my mortgage and put food on the table. And so, you know, it's a matter for those of us who are more aware of consciously recognizing, oh, that's a fear-based process. And if I keep working through my fear-based processes and bring this more and more into the conscious, then those people are very much aware that they're splitting off. And so this moment in time is fascinating. And I only just clocked this after the spring equinox, the March equinox of this year. And I'm seeing that this window is open through the summer solstice, through the June solstice, 2016. And this is it. This is, you know, the final invitation is on the table that says it's now or never. My friend who's very psychic said he had this meditation, David Manning, he's participating in Treasure Trove of Transformation with me. He kept hearing in meditation, the great winnowing has begun. And he was saying, what is winnowing? Mm-hmm. And he Googled it, and it's like it's the process of separating the wheat from the chaff.
Yes.
Which is a symbolic way of saying, you know, we're choosing. And to my mind, everyone's higher self is choosing, and there's no right or wrong. There's no good or bad choice, because the people who are choosing to stick with the patriarchal belief systems, that's in their highest interest. That's where their highest evolution lies. Mm. And so for us who are choosing ascension to stand back and judge that and say, well, that's not as nice as my choice, or I want to save somebody and bring them over to the ascension process, is really to play God and to not recognize that everyone is divinity. Everyone has a higher self, and it's making the optimal choice for their evolution at this time.
Yeah, the kind of messages that I get around that pushing, if you're trying to push someone to, hey, make this choice, hey, make this choice. Any time energetically you push at the moment, push anything, it doesn't work. It's the old energy to push. So you get a really bad reaction to it if you try to push anything. And it's not just pushing information at people that you want to wake up. It might be trying to manifest something else in your life. If you push at it, it doesn't arrive. You just simply have to set the intention for it to arrive and then allow it to arrive, which is... that's the new manifestation. So it's really, really interesting that you're so clearly feeling the window when it opened. And when will it actually close? I mean, is it closing on this equinox on the following, you know, September end of quarter? It's closing June.
That's my thing.
Okay.
It's closing June. I mean, everything is so speeded up. That's plenty of time for anybody who wants to make that choice.
Yeah, well, there is going to be some geopolitical stuff between now and then, so people will get a chance to experience that before the June equinox. And maybe that's what they've been waiting for. Just a little, some of them will pop over and actually make the choice, and others will pull back and stay in the matrix, no doubt. But as you say, it's all happening at the level of higher self, which is where I assumed it was. I just wanted to check that, because depending on those who are listening and how much they've delved into this, they might take it that you have to, you know, make a conscious choice and you know, do something about it. But as you say, it isn't overtly present in the physical.
Yeah. It really depends on someone's heart, right? We've moved from the mind to the heart. And so if the heart is open and is opting for change, that's it. But what you said was so clear. It's like we've moved from forcing things, from controlling things. That existed for 5,000, 6,000 years during the patriarchy. That was part of the structure of patriarchy. But my read is that, you know, at the winter solstice of 2012, there was this really subtle shift, and it was out of structure and into fluidity. We had been moving in that direction for a while, but at that moment the tumbler fell into place and structure was passé. Nothing wrong with structure, but structure now has to be brought into form and then let go of in a very fluid way when it served its purpose. Now we have moved in the past 4 years from fluidity to formlessness. Those are the energies that are really being supported at this time. So it's a progression. Yeah.
Mm. What's coming to me, Amy? I'm going to throw it over to Amy here, but I want you to bring Franco in, because remember when Franco was on the show?
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for that.
Is that what you wanted to say?
Yeah.
Because Franco, he talked about all the potentials. So you go ahead with that, Amy. Oh, you've gone robot.
What about field? So Earth is fully integrated. Did you hear me?
No, just repeat what you said, Amy. You just went robot. Amy's mobile, just in case anyone's wondering.
Am I back?
Yes.
I keep popping in.
Amy, you're back. Ah, interesting. The connection should pop out. Give it one more chance. Amy, can you hear us? Okay, she's on the road, so she's probably gone into a lower area. Okay, well, I'll ask the question as best I can, and hopefully Amy will fill in any gaps. Franco's very tapped into working kind of in the walls of the matrix, a bit as Neo used to see them. And he came on the show and he talked about it. We reached a point, and this was over a year ago, I think. Tammy, was about a year ago Franco was on and saying this about the all potentials being available, that the way that the energies were flowing is that all bets were off, all of the predictions and people putting forward their versions of what a particular timeline might be or might not be were all just actually irrelevant, because we got into a situation where all potentials had become pretty much equalized, and we could actually manifest in that field of potential whatever we wanted to. And when you use the word formless, it immediately came back to me. That's one of the words you'd use to describe what Franco was talking about, was formlessness, and just being able to manifest with the potentials.
I totally agree. Are you throwing it over to me?
Yeah, I am actually. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. And he was seeing something, I think, earlier than some of the rest of us. But that's what I mean when I say in this year you can do anything. So it is very much, I like that way of phrasing it, all bets are off, all timelines are off. The global elite has known through their remote viewing. You know, you can tap into people on YouTube who talk about this. They saw 2012 coming, and they knew that all timelines were off at that point.
Yeah.
And so it's completely dependent upon humanity and what humanity wants. Unfortunately, humanity has been very, very reticent to change. And it's understandable. And I think, you know, I have expected the system to fall apart long before this. But the reason it stays into play in place is that the global elite have such a powerful PR machine, and they just keep promoting all as well. You know, we may have a colossal derivative market here that's going to fail any moment, but they keep promoting all as well, continue to buy into the system. And then we go back to people's fear of not being able to pay their mortgage or put food on the table. And you put those two things together, and it has perpetuated a system that has to go down. I mean, it's not going to be pleasant, but this system has to fall apart in order for us to then look at what remains, recycle the pieces that are usable, and start to build a new world. That's logical, right?
It is. Yeah. Tammy.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking about, you know, this sort of time frame that we have, and the work that you've been doing about connecting to the highest human resonance for those who are, whether they're in conscious choice point or unconscious choice point, will that be a sort of practice that will assist from this time until, you know, into the next almost 2 months?
Well, it's funny you ask that, because the information in that 45-minute YouTube is now passé.
Wonderful.
I mean, this is how fast things are moving, no? I mean, what we started to look at, and I learned to douse about 9 months ago, and my good friend Susan Gash, who's also involved in Treasure Trove of Transformation, you know, we do some dousing sessions together. So we were tracking the Schumann resonance at the highest point on the planet. And I released this YouTube, oh, it's a good idea to intend to do a direct connect to the highest point on the planet, because in a very natural way, you'll just connect with the earth where you are, if indeed you bring some awareness to that, right? And there were phenomenal results from that. I get emails every day of people saying, yep, you know, I can douse, and I doused before and after, and this is incredible, and it just keeps going up. Well, then I began working on how do you actually exit and unplug the matrix from your embodiment. And once you do that, the whole picture changes. And you start automatically to direct connect with the core of the earth. And so just to give you a sense, when Schumann, you know, developed this idea of the resonance, the frequency of the earth, he tracked it at 7 point, whatever it was. Back when we released it to this.
Yeah, that was just Amy dialing in. Please continue.
So when we released the YouTube, that was back in March of 2016, and the Schumann resonance was at about 17. So that within itself is a huge jump. Now we're tracking the core of the planet and how there is a direct connect. It's moved. It's actually not in Chile. It's still in South America, but it seems to be spreading out like a positive virus, the Schumann resonance spreading out. And guess what it's at? 270.
Mm. I was listening to a conversation between, I don't know whether you've heard of these folk. We've had Simon Parks on the show. Simon Parks, Wynne Keach, and Jim Nichols and Tolek, and one of the things they discussed was the Schumann resonance, and they all agreed that it's going to go through doubling phases. So you were looking at it at 17, so it's going to jump from 34 to 68 to 130 something, and then up to, you know, so it's not just going to hang about going 17, 18, 19, 20.
Mm.
It's going to go whop, whop, whop. So it's no wonder if it's that high. What was that number again? 270?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's
phenomenal.
Amazing. That is amazing.
And this is the reason. You know, this is like concrete proof. I mean, if you believe in dowsing, which is an extension of one's psychic ability, the ability to apprehend knowledge in another way. But this is why people are having such a difficult time. Literally, if you're fighting that resonance with your embodiment, i.e. clinging to the old ways of control and structure, you are so out of sync with the mother planet that literally you're not going to have a home to live on. You won't be able to tolerate the vibration anymore.
Excellent. Now, Amy just managed to dial in. Amy, I did ask the question on your behalf before about Franco's view of the probabilities. Did you hear it?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Did you want to add anything? Did I cover it for you?
Yeah, that, you know, what he had expressed was that, as in March, and this goes into alignment with what, you know, is beautifully being shared, is that as of March, Earth herself, Mother Earth herself, was in five-dimensional consciousness and allowing the humans to spread, you know, through the humans to have the chance to do that now here in a real way. So it fits into what, you know, what she's saying. And I was listening to something last week that, you know, he had given a talk on, and it was struggle. You know, like we're saying that if we don't make this leap, you know, we're still stuck with, can I pay my mortgage? Can I pay my bills? And the struggle, the sacrifice. And he was saying that they were very, very, very archaic old programs that were built in the Matrix, and they're the sister to fear, and that it's time now to let them go. And our biggest challenge is us letting go. So I think it fits beautifully into, you know, what's being shared today is, you know, what I'm loving is everyone coming together and sharing a lot of the same knowledge. You know, it's just getting so beautiful now.
Mm. Yeah.
And can I just insert one thing here, because it jogged this really important point in my mind, and that is the Earth quantified. She moved into a fourth dimensional consciousness. And now, as you say, that really resonates with me, that she has opened up fifth dimensional consciousness and is in the process of stabilizing it, or perhaps did stabilize it in March. This was never the original intent for this time. I think to move into 4D was always the original intent. And who do we have to thank for that? The Anunnaki, the global elite and company.
Yeah.
Yeah? Because the pressure has been so intense. So one of the things that everyone needs to do if they want to exit and unplug the Matrix is get over this piece of judging. This is the most exquisite dance of energies that is taking place on the planet. It is perfectly orchestrated and in the favor of those who want to opt for ascension. So you cannot exit the Matrix if you're still holding this them and us polarity. There is no them and us. They have done us a huge favor, because they've not only opened up the fourth and fifth dimensional capacity, but what is happening, my seeing is what is happening after the summer solstice, and will completely integrate by the winter solstice, is we'll be moving beyond this term that we love to use, universal consciousness, into the possibility of oneness. In other words, we'll be exiting the matrix of the universe, the parameters of the universe, because this whole universe at some point was dreamed into place with certain parameters. And so the invitation will very much be on the table in that 6-month period to exit the universe into oneness with all existence.
Hmm. Would it be another
way? That resonates so completely, and that's what we talk a lot about. And that's come up a lot, is to stop the judging, you know, of, you know, the systems, but, you know, politicians, whatever it may be that we're judging, and to really bring it into oneness. Oneness is constantly coming up recently in a lot of ways, in powerful ways. It's not them against us or us against them, or, you know, and not just applying that to, you know, humans, but to the world, to the place that we reside in.
Yeah,
and the way you've actually described the step from universal consciousness into oneness, what comes to me when you say that is not necessarily that we're exiting this universe, but this universe, in the same way that the Earth is evolving from a dense matter sphere in the solar system to more of something that's crystalline, that the universe is actually evolving. and shifting mm-hmm. in its own frequency overall. Is that another way you could think of that particular process? Does that
absolutely.
Fit into your model?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been listening to some YouTubes by, what is his name? George Kavassilas?
Kavassilas.
Is that his name? The Australian.
I actually do know George. He's had a rough time the last 15, 20 years, but he puts out some really good thoughts. So please proceed.
Yeah. Yeah, but he was talking about sort of the galaxies of star seed information, or the other worlds, the other planets, the other star seeds. It's like star systems. It's all of this genetic information that was contributed to the birthing of a universe and a planet within that universe, which has held an experiment in consciousness. But it's not when you exit something, you own it. The only way to exit is to embody it, yeah? So if you have a spiritual guide, for a while, you hold that spiritual guide separate. But then after a while, you lose your connection with the spiritual guide, and you say, well, where is my spiritual guide? And you've embodied, you've become, you've merged with. Yeah, so this has happened in my journey over and over again. The Syrian High Council, the angelic realms, whatever it is, it becomes embodied. So we will be embodying universal consciousness and have the invitation to move into something even greater, right? So that means, as you say, embodying, having access to all of that starseed information, to own it within our bodies.
Wow. So that brings up something because when I arrived here last week and I listened to your latest show, and you went into the meditation and it was all about navigating the inner plane and then actually going out into the outer plane to realize that it's the same inside. And you touched a bit on how it's all happening inside in these bodies. And I won't go into it any further, but can you tell us a little bit more about that, that we're really bringing it here? We're not running off somewhere. But what you and Chris just talked about, like segues, you know, it just went into it so nicely. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, about what we're really embodying here and what that really means to bring these things into the physical body, into this physical plane?
Yeah, it's nothing new. I mean, classical spirituality is, you know, whether you look at Buddhism or Hinduism or Zen or whatever it is inner exploration. The difference now is that those old patriarchal paradigm spiritual techniques are passé in that they dissed the body. They said, oh, you need to transcend the body. You need to go up out of your crown chakra. That's where it's happening. But be an ascetic. Live in a cave, right? Don't pay any attention to your body. And now what's come online with the new paradigm is very, very strongly, no, your body is of the earth. The earth is precious. Your body is precious. It's more what you could call a full body enlightenment, which means the total integration of universality, your divinity, while in embodiment. So it is the ability, ultimately, to have universal, at this stage, universal awareness 24/7 while washing the dishes,
mm-hmm.
right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, now, I mean, that's the challenge. And there are a lot of spiritual practices that are actually holding people back because they're still so structured and they don't integrate the body.
Yeah, they're asking you to leave the body in order to practice, to do your spiritual practices, which I think is actually, look, it may have been a kind of a valid process in the 80s and the 90s to really get you into your spiritual path. However, it's not where the action is. I absolutely agree with you. The action is here in the body. And the term that resonates with me to describe the process where you're embodying full universal awareness 24/7 is phrases like actually living the dream. Physical angel is another phrase that really resonates. You know, to have all of the abilities of this body actually switched on and functioning will actually give you, it'll actually give you an enormous amount of control over the physical reality around you, with the requisite responsibility taken for all energies expressed into the physical, as is required to keep you in alignment. But it's not the experience of basically, you know, disappearing into the etheric. It's physical. And one of the things I was going to ask you is, it's something that I've been observing, is and a possible clue as to whether people at a higher level have said, I'm going to go with this, even though they might appear to be really 3D, is the way that people all around, as far as I can see, to the distance, have suddenly become focused on their diet and purifying their diet, tossing out all of the processed foods, drinking, you know, really good water, eating fermented foods, you know, eating lighter, walking away from eating meat, you know, either completely or a lot. Do you want to reflect on that for a minute? How their diet might be, you know, one of the ways we're saying, yes, I want to go forward.
Yeah, I am totally aware of that. It's not been such a big focus for me. I focus on other things, but I have noticed, you know, I was a vegetarian for probably 25 years, and then my enlightened spiritual teacher told his students, we need to start eating meat, because the energy of the planet is going to become so abysmal, it's going to become so dense, that you're going to need to buffer from it just to get through. But recently, maybe 6-9 months ago, I became a vegetarian again. And I realized I was running a program, you know, that had been installed through the years of, if you don't eat meat, you're not going to have enough protein. And then what's going to happen to the body? And I finally just said, screw it. I'm going to go. My body's been telling me for a few years to become vegetarian again. But it also depends. You know, I'm in Ecuador, in an extremely pristine environment. It's easier to do than if you're living in London or New York City.
Yes.
So each person has to, I think, just, you know, there are no spiritual teachers. This is the beauty of it now. There are no spiritual teachers. That's why I call myself a spiritual mentor. The real teacher is the heart. It's a person's own heart. And so when you use this phrase, which is near and dear to my heart, this resonates with me. That's it. You know, you draw to yourself whatever is resonating, and that's the teacher.
You know, and I think that's really powerful. And, you know, and I think all of our experiences, you know, Chris, Tammy, and I, even just doing the show, is that we're discovering that it is in a weird way an individual journey, and you get to see the process, know the process. You can see the programs, you can remove them, you can, and how powerful in the human form that it's becoming, and the awareness that we can. And I think it was really amazing to bring up that I don't have to be a monk, you know, living on a mountain or, you know, and going out of my body to have enlightenment, that I can actually have it while embodying in this physical reality. And for the first time ever, you know, we've never done it before here. And, you know, how we can change our reality, and we're having consciousness in a physical form, and it's so powerful right now. And these conversations are just amazing to me.
Yeah, the sort of messages for the last couple of years from various sources, including Channel Ones, really one of them was that your body, your DNA, is listening to you. And that, you know, the reason why we've swung back to an individual, very much a focus on clearing the individual, clearing the, you know, the unresolved emotional energies that sit in your field, the old stuff, dropping those, dropping the programs. I went through a really profound experience where it was simply brought to my awareness that I was defining myself by old stories, because I've been probing around past lives to get at specific things that are holding me back. But I was actually buying into the stories too much still, and it was holding me back, and they were absolutely right. But as you said, just bringing it to my awareness gave me an opportunity to actually look at it and say, well, does that resonate? Now, in that instance, it really did, and I had a really strong experience of letting go of old stories, and it was quite visual, which is not usual for me. So it was obviously particularly a particularly strong response to it. But the fact that you know, we were able to work so much more directly and effectively with the body is really starting to come to the fore. One of my colleagues is a psychotherapist using a process called Hakami, and it's a very physical, visceral process of tracing old stuff that you're holding simply by working with sensations in the body in a quite a, they've got a systemized way of doing it. And I think he is finding people are tapping into it like ducks to water now, which has not been the case for you know, for many years. They're really starting to be able to pay attention to their bodies. And of course, then we talked while we were sorting out the technical issues about the fact that the connection with the planet is, because we're part of the biosphere of the planet, we're made of the same stuff as the planet, is just so important to reconnect with the planet. And I'd really love to hear any advice and information that you give to people to get it on this recording about the importance of the reconnection to the planet and you know, how you'd suggest going about it.
Yeah, well, I guess I would suggest at first fully exiting and unplugging the matrix, right? And there's, you know, I talk about things, but my role is really as a, what you might call a spiritual soldier. I soldier into places that other people sometimes are afraid to go. And I just, you know, I pick up a banner and I say, I'm going off. I'm riding off in this direction. So if it resonates with you, come along. But right now I'm going to exit the matrix. So once you do that, I think the sense very, very viscerally comes online in an automatic way. We were talking about the Schumann resonance. It completely shifts a person's Schumann resonance, and it completely shifts their relationship to the earth. So much so that that oneness with the earth begins, if you will allow it to dominate awareness. You can't see it necessarily when you're just out in the 3D living your life. But if you pause, or better yet, if you meditate out in nature, and, you know, for me, I'm sitting here in the beauty of the Andes. I just pick a spot on the mountain and I start to meditate, and it becomes so visceral. Oh, I'm just meditating on my own body. You don't have to reach for it anymore. It's just there. And this part, there was a piece of programming. It's part of the religious programming that we received, which is woven into the matrix, that says man shall have dominion over the earth. That goes away when you exit the matrix. And so for those who continue to hold that belief system, this is why I say, you know, you won't have a planet to live on anymore, because that is absolutely unacceptable to the planet and to those aligning with the ascension. And I don't know how the future will outplay for those people, but unless you're willing to look at that one, and especially if you're a man, because that was formulated during a patriarchal, male-dominated society, and it said men, you know, shall have dominion over the earth, and women who have been second-class citizens for 5,000 years need to look at it too. But this idea that somehow a man, you know, is a superior being and everything else is his chattel and he can do whatever he wants with the earth, that is totally unacceptable. And that window closes. You know, that's why I'm seeing it so urgent to get the word out to people, to help as many people as possible by the June solstice.
Mm, awesome. Tammy, do you want to jump in?
Yeah. And wow, it feels like all the questions that I wanted to tap into here were already answered. But you know, as far as like what you said, Lucia, about, you know, the heart is the guide and there are no more spiritual teachers anymore. I know that what I've been tapping into a lot in, you know, since March into now is really just all about balance. And it's embracing, you know, the areas where I wasn't in balance. And by embracing it, it brought me into that space. And, you know, the view... to be able to see things in a neutral view and still be completely immersed has been mind-blowing, and it has propelled me forward in ways that I could never have imagined. And so I look at sort of, as you say, a lot of the teachings that have come forward. It's almost like they're becoming archaic, and not in the moment of now. And even with, as far as eating, I've learned to tune into the sensory of my body. What is it feeling about this particular thing? And really having that be a guide. Whereas, you know, the last couple of years, I've been in and out of vegan, vegetarian, maybe just eating fish. And that was, when I look back, it seemed more of a thing that I thought, or I was supposed to do, because it was going to uplift me in some way or help my progress. And now I'm tuning in, and almost there are times where, I'll write pages and pages upon just the sensory that I'm feeling in my body. And it's been fascinating just to follow that thread and know that whatever choice that I make in that moment is aligned with my heart, which is bringing me into balance. And the more that I do that, it's the more the world inside and outside opens up, and I get to see it in a way that I've never been able to before. And that, within the body and all its sensory, the subtle things that I was never really aware of, it's this realization that, wow, the universe really is, on the inner plane. And I've so many times gone to outside factors, outside things, only to realize that it was just simply going back in. And so as I look forward to, this point into June 20th, it's for me in my personal journey, it's all about the inner plane and honoring what comes through and realizing that those subtle, the subtle sensory that's, moving through my body is connecting me back to my multidimensional self. And, one of the things that I've been doing before I left was, sitting outside, just sitting, looking at the trees. And then I'll just pop over to the YMCA and sit in the sauna and connect with, the heat and the room. And it's like all these just the simple, mundane or seemingly mundane things have brought me back so much in tune with what's going on, inside. And I was like, wow, I've often had these like complex, complicated ideas of what I thought I should be doing or following, when, what kept coming up inside was, and I don't know if this is a thing, but, I keep hearing the law of simplicity is the way. The law, if it gets too complicated, it's out of the flow. Come back in fluidity where all is simple. And that even just a tiny sensation that moves from my hips, up the side of my back or something is connected to a stream that has a color, that has a vibration, that is connected to my multidimensionality. And I'm like, wow, really? So all of this stuff that I thought that I had to do, and here it's just going back to simplicity and balance. So that's what it's kind of been like, for me. And I feel like, even doing the two meditations that you've brought forward, just allowed me to step more fully into myself. And I'm just like, wow, okay, this is happening. This really is happening. And it's a lot simpler than we thought.
Mm. Yeah, it's always been simple. That's so beautiful. I love the way you talk about it. But that's, what I, in classical terms, the way I would talk about it would be clarifying your being. That's always been the quest of the spiritual aspirant, is to purify or clarify the being, which means dismantling the egoic structure. And the reason that's coming online, the reason we have the ability to feel that more now, is because of the quickening, because everything has speeded up. And so if a person turns, as you have obviously learned to do and beautifully described, just turns to face whatever it is that's arising in consciousness and allows that to vibrate through the embodiment. There are these people who have not been on a spiritual path and they think, oh my God, I've missed out. I'm too late to catch the boat. No. The rest of us who have been on a spiritual path for 45 years are currently deconstructing all of the techniques that we learned and throwing them out because they're no longer useful. And you don't have that. on your playing field. Just go for broke, yeah. Right? And the way to do it, and it happens very, very quickly, is to not resist anything. Anything that's showing up in consciousness is simply something arising that's saying, look at me, please. I've been trapped here in your egoic structure. I've been a pattern you're running forever. I've been a reactive emotional process that's been coming up your whole life. Just look at me and embrace me and bring me into the heart and allow me to vibrate through. And if you look at anything, just look at it. That's all it wants. Yeah. It will dissipate. It will go home. It's so simple.
Yep.
Look, I was actually having that experience this afternoon, which is actually quite a while ago now, that because we're now, I suppose, about 8 or 9 hours ago, working on something that's an energy that's actually been in my field, for hundreds of thousands of years, apparently, according to my Akashic. And this particular one was the result of having some reptilian lives, and it's something that's apparently been with me ever since. Got down to some of the details of it, and the resolution of it, because it was simply the energies of the authoritarianness of the patriarchy. Take orders from me, I'm your boss. It was that energy, and it wanted somewhere to go. And, you know, I was discussing that with my mentor, who's been helping me go, because I'm getting down to some really deep old stuff. And he's a dowser, by the way, a really good one.
Mm-hmm.
And the way to actually resolve it was exactly as you just described. I have to accept it, love it and thank it for its service to me and showing me that aspect of, as you said before, playing with power, and let it go. And it's fantastic to hear you putting it so simply, and that anyone can do it. I mean, I'm delving around in stuff that I need to get out of my field because I had a fairly messy trajectory, and it's just gotten a bit complicated, unnecessarily, but resolving it. But I do totally agree with you. As the Schumann resonance goes up, and I think that's the key, it's the consciousness of the planet that's lifting all of us, plus energies coming in directly to us, mixture of those two things that are allowing our frequencies to shift. And this, as you know, I was saying to someone this afternoon, if you imagine the process, if you are a $10,000 Bose speaker system, you know, one of the really expensive ones, and someone chews chewing gum and sticks them all over the speaker cones and just deadens the sound because the speakers can't vibrate the way they should. What we're trying to do is rip off the chewed up chewing gum that we left there progressively over thousands of years, so the whole system actually works the way it's supposed to. But if the frequency of the room itself is vibrating faster and faster, the chewing gum is going to pop off more easily. And that's a really crude description, but it kind of works. And so, so basically I'm saying, yeah, I'm experiencing exactly what you're talking about. So that's. I just wanted to say that it's kind of a neat little thing, because I want to cycle back to something that I think is worth injecting. Tammy, did you just try and insert something there?
Yeah, you know, one of the things, and this could just be, you know, in my experience, but I'd love to show, but one of the things that's been coming up a lot, and you mentioned this several times, Lucia, is, well, for me, it's like there's really not much to do anymore. It's really just all about the embrace, and that's it right there. It's just as it's coming up. It's like, okay, let's just feel into this and embrace it completely. And you know, on the piece that we didn't get recorded, where I talked about seeing the video game with these Mercury doors, and the doors were just really showing us ourselves and where we were at, and it being the gateway, it was just the willingness to look into that mirror and say, okay, and, you know, accepting it in and embracing whatever shows up. Just as you said before, there's no, you know, if you're following the path of resistance, it's going to be kind of crunchy and painful. And we had a guest on, Mercedes Kirkel, and she said, you know, if you're in a moment of accepting and embracing something, and it's painful at first, but that is the pain of penetration into the heart opening. Mm-hmm. And so I've sort of adopted this new sort of default, like there's really nothing to do but just to sit in this. And to be, I've had these ongoing dreams since I was a little kid that I was being sucked into, like, I guess in the Caribbean we call it manholes or gutters or whatever. And, you know, it's where all the dirty water kind of recedes to. And it was always very traumatic for me that I was being pulled into this space. And as I got here the first night, I was on an arc on a very thin ledge being pulled into this putrid water. And I simply just said, okay. And I felt my legs being pulled in, and I heard my heart say, I don't mind sitting in the dirty. Let's see what this is about. And as quickly as I accepted being in the stench of that putrid water, then all of a sudden I was going up the arc of this little ledge, quite just like floating up and floating little by little out of the putrid water. And it was just like, oh, I've just crossed the threshold into something that the conscious mind can't even grasp it right now. And again, it was nothing with effort to do, but just the simple willingness to sit in it. So for me, that's been very profound. And again, follows that law of simplicity that I've been hearing, is just sit down in it for a second. It'll be all right.
Yeah, and, that's it.
You know, that's it. That's all to do right now. And that these are all coming up to show you the parts of yourselves that are still bound, you know, that's really saying, be me, look at me, please. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to move on. You know, will you feel me? And we don't have to be afraid of these emotional bodies anymore. It just hurts for a little while instead of resisting it and then, you know, incurring the wrath of suffering for longer than necessary. We don't need suffering on that scale anymore to evolve, I think, at least for me.
Yeah, beautifully said. I mean, you don't even have to. The further you go, you know, you build up your confidence with using that technique. And it gets to the point where you don't even have to be able to label it. You don't even have to know, oh, this was a past life in Atlantis, or this feels like a sewer. You just sit back in whatever is arising in consciousness without resisting it. And I like the way you said it, where, or maybe it was you, Chris, who said it, that you merge into the heart space. The other way that I describe it is, you know, any process is multi-layered. So it may start with judgment on the outside. And then if you come down into it, there's anger, there's the emotion of anger. And then if you drop down even further into, you know, unpeeling the onion of the process, there may be insecurity, there may be fear, there may be grief. But you get down to this layer, and the last layer is fear. And that's where most people stop, is because fear burns. It's really uncomfortable. But if you allow the fear without resisting it, it burns through the embodiment. You drop through to the void. You drop through the light. That's it. And that's home.
Yes. One of the things that's really come up in all the clearing work I've been doing the past couple of years is that you're absolutely right. You work your way through the layers. And at the bottom of it, it's a fear. And after a while, when you actually experience something, if you've gone through the process, you know, 2, 3, 4 times of kind of picking your way down through the layers, you can pick the fear straight away. You know, the emotion will come up, and you'll say, "Oh, it's fear of abandonment, right? This is what it's." And you just become really accurate about it. And just bringing it to your attention, if you've experienced letting the stuff go again enough times, you can say, "Oh, it's just fear of abandonment, right?" And Tammy so beautifully describes the process of sitting in it, of just being in it and accepting it, and in the heart. And you can let it go. As you pointed also before, the way showers have been forging ahead. And doing it the hard way, bit by bit, so that now, as the frequency shifts, everyone else can simply drop all their old crap, like throwing off a dirty overcoat at some point. Yeah. It's one of the ways that I feel you could describe it. And I don't, that's not to say that, it's just the job that we came here to do. I just wanted to say two things, actually. To bring this to people's awareness, is because it's not that well known, but I've come across this information from a channeler that my partner and I do work with about the spiritual hierarchies that exist on the planet. Now, you'll have to subtract the baggage around the word hierarchy, because it's really a family tree. It's your spiritual lineage, like a DNA family tree. Okay, it's not an authoritarian stack of compartmentalized whatevers. It's just the connections that we have with the tree of souls as we go back to, you know, the very angelic levels of our original, the blocks of energy, the parts, the parcels of energy that broke off from source as angelic. You know, we all go back to source through this tree. Now, if you're an old soul and you're fairly, you know, you're sort of imagine yourself a third of the way from the top of the tree. If you do the kind of work that we're describing, it loosens up the process for everybody downstream. Okay, and again, don't take up and down as judgmental. It's just, you know, I'm talking about kind of just a flat diagram here using the words we've got available. Downstream, they get the benefits of it. It's the 100th monkey syndrome in action from the point of view of emotional clearing. And the work that, as you said before, I'm just rephrasing what you said before about, you know, we've been blazing the way and, you know, therefore you can. This is kind of a mechanism behind the scenes, which I found helpful to explain to people because it makes sense. And also to point out there's connections horizontally across between the families, because families intermarry, right? So things that we do in some detail and very precisely, kind of laboriously, and have done for years, now we're getting the benefits, because the whole process is accelerating massively, and people don't have to really get into the minutia of disassembling something by having to know, you know, where it came from, what was the life about, what happened in the life, what are you responsible for, how did you acquire this energy, what did you do to have this stuff left in your field that. And it's why is it so important that it's come back now to be resolved? You know, you don't have to ask those questions or even know about them. All you have to do is recognize there's something there and you can let it go. And it's really, really great to know that that's going to be available for everybody. Otherwise, you'd sit there and say, how the hell is everybody going to go through what I just went through in the last 10 years or 15 years or 20 years? You know, we don't have time. Well, this is kind of the mechanism that's forming. And the Schumann resonance is putting it in hyperdrive, and it's making it much more present and available. So anyway, I just wanted to put that into the conversation so that people who are listening to this can ponder upon that and digest. What I wanted to do, the question I have in this particular moment, is cycle back to dominion over the earth and the domination of man over, you know, well, men over women, masculine over the feminine, and quite literally the objectifying of the feminine as an object, as a possession, and the objectifying of the feminine sphere that we live on, Sophia Gaia, as an object which man could carve up and own.
Yeah.
It was part of the domination of the patriarchy, was the concept of the actual, you know, I own this land. How can you own a piece of land? You know, what, do you live for 100 years? The land has been here for billions of years, and it'll be here long after your 100 years is up in this life.
Yeah.
So who are you trying to kid?
Yeah.
Well, it's about domination and control. And the comment I want to make was this, just to see if this resonated with you. You were sort of saying, well, you're feeling that how can we even stay here when we just can't own Gaia? Well, I think it's the energetic of the new arrangement that humanity will, I think, quite consciously put into place with the planet, is to abandon ownership. Those registers of house lots and areas of land that sit inside files inside the patriarchy, I think they'll all get tossed through the shredder and onto a fire, and we will simply go into a situation saying, if you're on a piece of land, you are the custodian and caretaker of that land, and we'll work out some way of moving from place to place, and we'll simply be that, because all that was separation between us and Gaia, us and the planet and each other. You know, we built houses on little plots of lands and put up fences and said, well, this is mine. I own this. Really? And I think rather than leaving the planet, we'll simply abandon ownership, and that'll be a part of our healing and separation and moving back to oneness. And I just wanted to see if you felt that was a better way to describe it.
I don't know. You know, it's like I can't see the way it's going to outplay in the future.
Mm.
And it really doesn't matter, does it? I mean, to me, I'm very unattached. So if a lot of people leave the body, or a lot of people get in spaceships, or a lot of or if we dismantle ownership, it really doesn't matter. The only thing that we have we can control, but that's not correct. It's just a matter of being in the moment.
Mm.
It's all going to outplay perfectly. And so my responsibility is simply to be absolutely present in this moment. So if there's an earthquake in Ecuador where I am, and if it's my time to go, and if that's of the highest benefit for the planet, I'm happy to go at this point. Yeah?
Yeah.
If it's my job to stay here, I'm happy to stay here because I know that my higher self is choosing. So I mean, if we wanted to quantify it in timelines, there are lots of alternative timelines.
Mm. An infinite number, really, because we've got all potentials happening.
I'd like to, if possible, just give a little a vision of a love affair based on what you just said, Chris and Lucia, about the fall of last year. I went into a lucid dream. And this is what I saw. I saw the mother in this form that was like a wild woman, and she was expansive. She was maybe a mile wide, and she had this crazy black hair. And I wasn't sure what I was seeing. But she would do this thing where she would stomp her feet on the earth. And as she stomped her feet, the darkness would shake out. And then she would whip her hair, and it would move the heavens. And she continued doing this because she was simply just the mother. So this is what I saw. And then over to the side was the consort. And he was sort of, you know, the way I saw it, was this beautiful man watching the dance of the mother. And it was this great big love affair. And the love affair was representative of the union of the light and the dark, that they were forever lovers. And so he just would sit there and watch her stomp her feet, and she was just doing her thing. She was just being the mother. And he was trying to get her attention, because somehow he'd forgotten what it was to just be a part of that, the stomping and the shaking and just being and being the planet. And somehow there was a little bit of a blip, and there was a separation. He started looking at her, and it started out as admiration and everything. But the mother just continued being the mother, doing her thing. And he started feeling a little insecure. So he tried everything that he could just to get her attention. But she just was the mother. And then he started doing this thing. He said, okay, well, if I parcel off all the land, what if I parcel the land and gave her ownership of pieces of the land? Maybe that will have her look at me. And the thing is, what he forgot was simply looking at her was looking at himself. Because it was just this great big love affair at the beginning. And it started this process of the need for recognition in the masculine and feminine. And this is how I was seeing it played out. And I felt like I was a peeping Tom looking at this, like a fly on the wall. And the mother was just there smiling, thinking, he's going to parcel off the land and claim ownership, give me a piece. But I am the land. When will he realize that he is the land also and he is me? When will we look at each other that we're simply just each other looking in the mirror, and we could just be here stomping the darkness from the planet and shaking our hair that moves the heavens? And so the mother just continued to be, and she knew deep down And she had the smile like the Mona Lisa, that it was just a love affair. And it was just playing out in a way that for a time was separation. And in that separation, we were looking at all the different aspects of us, trying to find recognition, but retreating further in this place of insecurity and separation. And to her, it was just kind of funny that someone would take a piece of her body and present it to her, but it is her body. So I just wanted to share that little bit that I saw, because as far as being in body or out of body and the dominion and the non-dominion and who's staying and who's going, it really is just the walk back home with the mother. And in doing that, we get to truly step into ourselves, which is the recognition that we've been seeking since, you know, the divide of the first union. And I see this as I walk around and I look in other people's face. And I think to myself, that is just another aspect of me. Can I accept that as me? And when I go into that place of the embrace, I interestingly feel the mother more in all things. And the mother is the father, and the father is the union, and the union is the father, and the union is the son. And it all really is just the dance of oneness and creation and oneness playing with itself, playing hide and seek, playing a game. And the more that we see these things and rest into it, it's like, ah, I see it. Let's rest into it. And the resting is the embrace. I don't know what that's going to look like, but all I can do is rest into it. And the more I rest into it is the more I remember, and the memories through the feeling of who I am, that I am connected to all things, and I'm just a little part of all of that's playing out right now. So I just wanted to share that little love story right there.
Amen. Amen. Indeed.
I think you just gave a really good description of the patriarchal cycle.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and it's we're just discovering that we left the heart and we went into the head and the ego and the patriarchy and the separation, and we're just working our way back through the layers, back to one.
Yeah, and it's also the chaos of the feminine. The feminine is chaos, but always within chaos there's divine order. But the chaos shakes men up, right? And it's part of the separation. Have to control the chaos. You have to, otherwise things are going to go to hell.
Yeah.
So it's been this giant learning. I mean, that's the way I view the patriarchy. There was a period where we needed to go through learnings about power. And part of learning about power is abusing power. Because if you never abuse power, it's like the child who puts their hand on a hot stove. You know, once they do it, then they know, oh, it's not a good idea. So now we've abused power. And this is it. This is the culmination of that learning, that grand learning for 5,000 years. And we're done with it.
Hallelujah. one of the elements that's kind of coming in and out of the conversation, but as yet unnamed, is the act of surrender to the flow. And in that heart space, which is something that is only really truly in the moment of now, and for me it's one of the things I've been working on for a couple of months now, is the surrender to divine will. Now that's a pretty powerful alignment to have in your moment of now. Is that something that you focus on? Does that come through your practices and intentions?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it is surrendering to a greater and greater degree. You know, we hear that word and we think weakness. Why would I want to surrender? But surrender is really ownership. Surrender is really admitting that this is part of me. And I've known that on an intellectual basis. But now I'm beginning to feel that and eventually to own that. And so what I've been looking at recently, I think, is that I'm beginning to tap into what's going to transpire for the last 6 months of this year. And that is, it's one thing I often say in guided meditations, let's just expand our consciousness out. The solution to any problem is to encompass it, yeah? Because then you can look down at the problem and it becomes very tiny, like a mosquito flying around your arm. And I realized that there was still for me a holdout in that, that I wasn't embodying it, that there's still a little bit of a holdout about the Anunnaki, the global elite and company. And so this thing came up, my warrior came up this past week, and it said, God, you know, these guys just need to leave. They need to be ordered to leave the planet. They've got to leave anyway. Let's just get it over with. And it was a huge learning experience where my ego came into play. And then humility set in again, and I corrected that situation internally and outternally, internally and externally. But what came of it for me was that I don't need to expand out to encompass them. I need to expand out in order to own them, to fully integrate them. I am, on some level, the Anunnaki, the global elite and company. And if they're going to leave this planet, it will be because they are loved out of existence.
And it will actually...
Does that make sense?
Yeah, and it will actually be their choice for the most part. For a lot of them will actually simply choose to leave, one way or the other, as is their right, because the other thing that's coming back into the collective is the practice and the awareness of, in the moment, the absolute right of free will choice, you know, mindfully taking into account not abrogating others' free will choices as you go about your life, you know, which is the law of one I'm talking about here. I mean, that energy is coming back into the way that we are with each other. And on that basis, you can't consider them to be anything but you. You know, they're either in the human collective, or they're not. And we can't ostracize and isolate an aspect of the human collective, because we are them and they are us, and we are all collectively responsible for whatever it is we collectively co-create. So if we've all collectively co-created a mess, we can't look at them and say, oh, it's their fault. And we have to own it, and we have to forgive ourselves, take the judgment out of it. I still like the idea of the observer from the higher perspective. I think it's really useful in taking the fear out of an equation. But as you say, if you're really addicted to that, it'll start to become another point of separation. So you've got to be a little bit careful with some of the processes, because they kind of lead you back in a circle if you're not careful. But there is no they, and there is no us and them. It's all us. It's all we. And when you hit that point, that's when the forgiveness is really starting to embody as well. And I used to muse upon, what do they mean by embody? You know, how do you embody? But you know, I've come to realize that it's again, this has just been my process. Recognizing you're actually not really embodying it. You're just recalling it back to your conscious awareness and allowing it to be part of you in the way that you are in the world, because it's just things that we've forgotten, set aside. Mm-hmm. We just weren't actively using those principles or bringing those principles into everything that is you when you're processing a response that you're about to express back into the physical, because that's all we really do. We just express responses in the physical. And if you bring those factors back into all of that processing before you respond, before you smile, before you, you know, throw something across the room or not, then you've got a much richer and more heart-based experience during that whole process. And that's really what the human experience is. It's actually, you know, information, catalyst in, processing, response out. It's actually that's all that's going on in the human experience. So what do you want to exist in that processing? What's in there? You know, if you've got a whole lot of past life stuff that triggers the hell out of you, so that when something comes in that makes you a bit mad, it doesn't just make you a bit mad, it makes you furious. And you know, there's the addictive shadow element. Or maybe it comes in and you start to feel the the anger trigger and you go, oh, no. No, I've seen that before. You know, I know what that anger is, and there's a fear under it. And, you know, I'm not going there. I'm going to make another choice about how I respond. That's the mastery. That's where that's the gift at the end of it. And the city is the giving back in abundance when you really master that process. And, you know, no matter what the input, the output always includes a massive amount of unconditional compassion and love. So as you say, it's a dance. It's an amazing, amazing dance. We've just been dancing a very limited routine for a very long time. And Tammy, thanks for that piece about the mother. I don't think you've told that on the show yet. I know I've heard it otherwise, and it was actually even more colourful than she described it. Actually, she gave the shorter and slightly sanitised version. But the whole process. I love the way you're actually describing it, Lucia, because it's just really nice and simple. It's very easy to get into complex descriptions of things. It just needn't be that way anymore. And I'm actually motivated to go and do a bit of dowsing and see what I can get on the Schumann resonance, actually. See what numbers I come up with. But there was one other thing that I wanted to bring up from much earlier on. We were talking about oneness with the planet, and you used the word reciprocity in your relationship with the planet, and I thought it was really a neat thing to do. Do you want to actually talk about that? Because the connection to the planet's really, really pivotal to start feeling at this stage.
Well, that's the key, isn't it? Or it's one of the keys. We've been talking about a lot of keys, I guess. I think we were just talking about once you unplug the matrix, that it comes online quite readily. And I did a guided meditation. It's on my website, Reformatting Your Relationship with the Earth. And it was perhaps 6-9 months ago when this first began to come online and I first began to catch glimpses of what it used to feel like. I don't know if I'm remembering Atlantis, or maybe people remember it from Lemuria, but we used to be so much in a state of oneness with the Earth. There was complete and total reciprocity. It wasn't respect as one thing for another. There was no division. And you would have never done anything to the planet because you would have been doing it to your own body. And how stupid would that be? That's what's coming back online. We've been catching it, I have, in glimpses for 9 months now. But now it's totally coming back online. And it is the essence, I think, of this 3-month period of time. So, you know, it's a really good practice just for us all to stop and make time for that. Because it's coming back into the recognition and the direct experience that we are her and she is us, and there's absolutely no separation. And what does that mean? Not on an intellectual level, but on a completely experiential level. I think it's going to be mind-blowing when that sets in fully, the feeling of it, the reciprocity with the Earth.
Yeah, I totally agree. The experience of the planet, being on the planet, part of the planet, is... it really comes into focus as you go through this process, and it is a work in process for everybody. It's not a switch you can flick. The effect of it for me is at times I'll just be somewhere and for a moment, and I talked about this a couple of shows ago, I'll just be triggered to start moving a touch slower than I need to move. I'll just deliberately go a bit slower. And the guest we had on was Unity Grace, and she was talking about spaciousness in the moment of now, making room to really just dwell in it. And when you do that, you start to feel the air blowing across your face, You become aware of it. And sometimes if I'm, because you can actually become very, in quite an altered state just walking around because of the frequency. And you can almost feel the photons of light hitting your eyes or your skin if you're out in the sun. And it really becomes incredibly sensual to actually move, because it feels like you're moving through water rather than through air when that starts to happen. And everything starts to slow down and really clarify. And, I remember a friend of mine who was telling me that he just walked around and he would fall in love with, you know, a flower on a bush, and he would just completely consume his attention. And he would just be in it. He just looking at this flower, at every little part of it. You know, the curves, the colors, the way the light was falling. Etc. etc. There's a really quite a different experience that you can have just walking around, and the interesting thing about that is you don't need to be in the country, although it helps not to be in a completely synthetic environment. You know, if there is some aspect of Gaia in your immediate vicinity, you can walk over to a tree and just look at the knots in the wood, and really just fall into it. So yeah, the connection to Gaia, absolutely, because we exist, our consciousness field exists because hers exists, and our bodies exist because hers exist. How can there ever be any separation there? And yet one of the cruelest aspects of the entities you call the Anunnaki, the elite and the corporation. I call them Team B, you know, we're Team A, they're Team B. There's even separation there, and I'm really going to drop that. But, you know, it's a very unthreatening way to refer to them. It's just Team B, you know, and it's what they do. You know, they've gone to such lengths to separate us within, from the biosphere, from Earth, from each other, and inside ourselves. You referred before to dismantling the ego body. And there's a book called, which I've mentioned, I know, in the last couple of weeks. It's actually called Lost Teachings of Atlantis, and it comes out of a group called the Children of the Law of One, which was an Atlantean, an aspect of the Atlantean civilization that fully accepted the teachings of the Law of One and actually lived by them. And they had a process, which is essentially what all the mystery schools are based on, their process of dismantling the ego body. And the separation they've created is that over-bloated, over-emphasized, energy-laden, tweaked up and full of emotional triggers, ego body that drives most of our lives. And I realized a really interesting thing a couple of weeks ago when I was musing upon this, about one particularly brilliant thing they did to really, really put the nails in the coffin of separation. If you look at the outside world and the constructs that we're now playing in after all these thousands of years of their you know, activities in suggesting we manipulate things, we manifest their way, they have aligned our over-bloated, over-dominating and controlling ego bodies in the external world. It's aligned with the straw man. And it's directly enmeshed into commerce, which is why I think the whole matrix they've created has been so hard for us to kind of push away from, to deconstruct, to escape from, even, because the ego is very, very dominating until you become aware of it and start to work with it and you know, reduce your triggers and, you know, basically master it. It's aligned with the straw man.
Yeah.
So this is why the fear triggers come up every time you suggest to someone that there might be another way of living your life. Because as soon as you suggest anything that steps away from the actual processes that exist in the matrix and the physical, the ego goes crazy and straight into fear. And yeah. A brilliant maneuver on their part, but we're seeing it and we're deconstructing it. So I hope that concept actually helps. And it's one of the things about the external world that some of us will find necessary to do is to go through this process of headbutting the system somewhat, and denying the straw man, You know, it's one of the things that some people are being called to do. And I wasn't personally called to do that, but people around me were. And I observed it and you know, really took on board what I felt they were doing. So, yeah, look, just some reflections for you to comment on, Lucia. And Tammy, you sound like you're about to fire in as well.
Yeah, I know. I was just became aware that Amy has been quiet in the background, and I just wanted to give you space if there was anything that you wanted to ask Lucia or comment on this time.
Yeah, look, she's dropped out. She's been on and off, and she said, I will say my loving goodbyes. I don't want to stop the amazing flow. Please ask
okay.
Lucia to return. I feel in love with her. Okay. So, message delivered.
So I'll hand it over to you, Lucia. Is
yeah.
there anything that's coming in at this time, whether that be a sort of guided meditation that you'd love to take us through, just or anything that we can be doing at this point consciously between now and this window for June 20th?
Well, I think there's a lot of information out there. You certainly own it. This has been an amazing conversation. Usually I'm teaching this stuff rather than comparing notes on it. So this has been
cool.
A beautiful, really beautiful experience. And I think as you said, you know, it's seeped into the collective. It's owned now. So there have been a lot of way-showers, a lot of people with their machetes cutting jungle paths for a long time, but it's there and readily available. And that is, maybe I've said it, but I would reiterate, you know, that rather than to go into fear about this time window, to just see it as an invitation on the table. And my reading on this time and this year, in fact, is that whatever you want to accomplish, you can. It's lightning fast. So if there are thoughts coming up about, well, I couldn't possibly do what they're saying, or I have this fear-based process that I know I'll never get through, I was sexually abused as a child and it's going to be too painful to go into it, I would suggest you look at that again, because we have so much traction now, inwardly and outwardly, spiritually. There's so much that has been done. It's just crystallizing. It's all coming into ownership in a way. It's all available. And so it's just disregard the worthless thoughts that may be there, the insecure thoughts, and say, what is it that I really want? What do I really want to accomplish in this incarnation? What am I here for? And if you nail that one, I would suggest you can do it. You can do it now. You can do it within the next month. You can do it by the end of the year. There's absolutely no question in my mind. It's just a matter of dropping back into that place and feeling it, all of the support, all of the traction, and deciding, basically. So I would say these are extraordinarily exciting times. They're not... I mean, I guess they are kind of back up against the wall times, but that's the beauty of it. That's the time at the 11th hour that we really have to own who we are. And who we are is divinity itself, right?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Look, I love the word traction, and I love the idea of having the machetes out and hacking our way through that forest. It's great imagery that you're putting forward there. And Tammy, you might want to comment on this too. You actually quoted the name of the show.
What do you really want?
Yeah, what do you really want? Amy and Tammy came up with that 3 years ago. And it's just such a great question. And it is the question. What do you really want? Now, there's an answer that your soul might give if you allow it to come through, about why you came here. And that'll be more and more available to people. And I think that's a... It's so exciting because people will get to find out that they're more than they think they are. Now, we're amazing multidimensional beings if we'll only get out of our own way and let it actually happen. And I'm just looking forward to seeing so many people, you know, shift tracks, because I think there's a lot of people on a track, and we know they've made the decision to ascend. And they're going to shift tracks in the next year. And we're going to be able to have a chance to help them and see them do it. And it's going to be absolutely amazing. I had a conversation with some relatives 6 months ago. And to my amazement, these folk that I thought were, you know, sort of immutably entrenched in this kind of matrix aspect of the world, were actually talking about the importance of expressing emotions and allowing emotions to actually come out. And it came up in a conversation they were having, and it was on their minds, and it just came in. I was sitting here going, wow, fantastic. I didn't have to do a thing. It just happened. So I think I totally agree. We're in for an amazing time. And Tammy?
Indeed. No, it's just becoming aware. And I know that Lucia's been on for a while, and I actually need to get going as well. But before we do that, Lucia, can you tell us a little bit about what's happening in, was it San Francisco? With your upcoming seminar and how people can get in contact with you?
Yeah, my website is Lucia.
Do you do private sessions as well? Or
I'm sorry, say it again.
Do you do private sessions as well with people? Is that an offering?
No, I don't. I leave that to other people. I just do these big, grand movements. That's my calling right now. So the big, grand movements are this treasure trove of transformation, which we very carefully timed to fall right after the equinoxes. And in the case of San Francisco, the summer solstice, because that's the time that, you know, the playing field shifts. And we can see, okay, now what do we have, and where do we go from here? And I am very keen on empowering people and showing them their own divinity. That's my calling at the moment. And so my part in the workshop that we're giving for 3.5 days, I do 4 different empowerments. And their direct eye contact, and because I have clarified my egoic structure, as we said before, it allows the divine light to simply be channeled through in a very clean way. And often people see for the first time the divine light. They see what we've been talking about. They see that it's their own. They see who they are. And that's exceedingly powerful. It's exceedingly powerful for me. I just sit and witness it. But it's exceedingly powerful for them. So I do all kinds of different qualities of empowerments. One of them is the Sirian High Council, where we actually reboot the original starseed configuration for each person in the room. I do a Divine Mother empowerment. And they're beautiful. They're just different qualities of energy that help a person bring back online and own who they really are, their own divinity. So we're doing one in San Francisco in July that I'm very excited about, and then we're doing our final one in London. And I can't see yet what we'll be doing there. That one's in October, but that's going to be right at the end of this window before everything integrates at the December solstice. And then we're off for a new adventure, aren't we?
We are. We are. We won't. You know, that's uncharted territory, actually. There are certain projections geopolitically about what I think might happen in the back end of the year, which is basically revelations that will wake people up. I'm pretty sure there'll be something quite significant before the solstice, and I think that'll be like the final wake up, final get on the train call. You know, if you look at the discussion from earlier in the show, where we're talking about, you know, was the decision point happening overtly consciously, or was it happening at the higher level? And I feel it's on the higher level. I know you do too. And yet there's probably those sitting on the fence. I think there's probably quite a few. And I think the stuff that's going to come up in the next couple of months will be their opportunity. In the physical, they'll feel about it however they feel about it. It's probably the final opportunity for them to jump the fence one side or the other. And I have had a lot of sort of information and messages about humanity taking a very gentle path on this wake up call than we could otherwise have chosen. I mean, the Team B had a very rather nasty sequence of events all picked out, you know, from their shopping list of nasty things. And that hasn't worked out well for them. That's not come through at all. It's been a complete flop. And what we've got instead was kind of a feeling that it's business as usual, but actually it isn't, because of all this energetic shifting and realigning that's gone on in the background. And we're leading up the back end of this year. I think it's going to be absolutely spectacular. So yeah. Really looking forward to getting to the solstice and then just seeing how we accelerate towards the end.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, Lucia, if you feel called to join us, around the time, after, before,
we'd be
so grateful to have you again. And it looks like we're going to be closing up, if that's okay with all of you guys.
Yeah, look, I'm fine. I was just going to say, Lucia, do you want to just ask Lucia if she has any final thoughts?
Yep.
Oh, I'm good. Yeah. I'm really good, except that I would love that. I would love to come back. This has been delightful.
Oh,
awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been great to, as you said, compare notes. And
it's
been really valuable. Awesomely.
Yeah, and so guys, just check back on the Facebook page for all those links, or just simply look up Lucia Renee on your YouTube or connect with her on Facebook. And so this has been another incredible morning into afternoon, nighttime for Chris, episode of What Do You Really Want? We're so excited, those of you who jumped on and joined us live just now, and for those of you that are going to be joining the call. And as usual, stay tuned for who's coming up next. We never know, because we usually do what we really want anyway. And we love you guys. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you again, Lucia. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Amy, that's already dropped off. And this is goodbye and good night until we see you again.
Awesome. We'll see you next week. And thank you, Lucia.
Yeah, bye-bye. Take care, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Good night. Lovely and messy name.